I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, today to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. Today, I want us to share together a salvation case history. It's a story of a man by the name of Josiah, who at 8 years old was made king of Judah. He had his headquarters in Jerusalem, and at the age of 26 years old, in the 18th year of his reign, something marvelous occurred in his life. As I was reading through this passage earlier in the week, I became impressed by what a tremendous picture it is of our salvation in Christ. And I am calling this message this morning a salvation case history. I want you to listen very carefully. If you're saved, I want you to take encouragement from this passage of Scripture today. If you're saved, I want you to examine yourself and your life from this passage of Scripture. If you're unsaved, I want you to listen very carefully, because today you're going to find out how to get saved. There's no message that is any more powerful than the wonderful good news that Jesus came to save sinners, and that God's mercy is reaching out and is freely extended to whomsoever will partake of it. Back to the story. Josiah was a young man who did not have a particularly illustrious heritage. His grandfather was a man by the name of Manasseh. He ruled 55 years in Israel. He was a wicked king. He caused Israel to sin with his abominations. The 21st chapter records portions from his reign and describes his wickedness. Verse number 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh's son, the next king, was a man by the name of Amon. He was also a wicked king. His reign only lasted 3 years. But upon his death, his son Josiah, at age 8, took the reign and began to rule in Judah. Josiah was a young man who was headed for hell. He didn't know it, but he was on a path straight for hell. He had nothing in his immediate past that would recommend him to God, nothing in his presence that would recommend him to the grace of God. He was a man in trouble and did not even know it. He was not even aware of it. We pick up the story of King Josiah in the 18th year of his reign as a young man, age 26. Perhaps some of you would identify with this young man. Not that you know what it's like to be the king over a powerful nation, but that perhaps many of you know what it's like to be in the flower of your young adulthood, in the bloom of your life, and to be under the sentence of eternal death and not realize that you were a dead man. That was Josiah's situation. Let's see what happened in his life. I'm beginning to read from chapter 22 of 2 Kings, the third verse. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. In other words, count the offerings. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Now here's a man who was lost. Here was a man who was dead in his sins. He dwelt in the midst of a sin-filled and a sin-doing people. He did not realize how desperate was his condition, but yet he was giving attendance to the house of God. He had a desire toward the things of God. And as was within his purview, he was concerned and involved in the restoration of the temple of God, and that's what this passage is all about. So his heart was turned towards God, interested in the things of God, even though he was dead himself, spiritually. Verse number 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. What did he find? He had found the Bible. He had found the Word of God. The Word of God had been lost in the rubble in the temple of God, and the Word of God was not available to the people. And when they began to dig around in the rubble and to repair the temple, the high priest found the book of the law in the house of God. He found the Bible. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass that when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. The minute this young man heard God's word, it worked conviction in his heart. It brought conviction upon his life. The word of God read aloud to him caused something to happen inside him. He became alert to the fact, aware of the fact that he was a dead man. He became conscious of the fact that he could not simply tiptoe through life and expect everything to turn out all right in the end. He became cognizant of the fact that because of his sins, he was dead. And because of his transgressions against the law of God, that his heritage was a burning hell. He didn't know that until he read it in the Word of God. That word, as it came forth, convicted his heart. It brought conviction into his life, and he rent his clothes over it. He was sorrowful. This is a woe is me, I'm undone. What am I going to do about my situation? And so in verse 12, the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Machaiah, and Shay, thank you, God, for Bills and Jims and Pauls and Johns. And Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. You must know that to preach all of God's word is to give forth the truth that God hates sin. And that sin will reap for the sinner an eternal penalty. And that eternal penalty is death. We don't want to hear about eternal death. We don't want to hear about the punishment for sin. We don't want to hear about the wrath of God. We don't want to hear about hell. We don't want to hear about fire. We don't want to hear about torment. We don't want to hear about heat. But it is the declaration of that portion of God's truth that will reach the heart of a man who is dead and doesn't know it and bring conviction and a recognition of the downside risk of living a life that is lived to ourselves. And so Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. These things are going to come to pass. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Sin's payoff is death. Sin's paymaster is destruction. The result of sin is eternal death and eternal torment. Don't permit someone with a modern interpretation of the Bible to tell you any differently. God's word is eternal. It does not change. Josiah said, Oh, woe is me, woe is my country. We are undone. We're consumed by our sins and our transgressions. What is going to become of us? God anointed this woman Huldah the prophetess to describe that because of the sins of the people under his father and his grandfather and other wicked kings before them, that the wages of sin is death. That's the way Romans 6:23 says it. Now for the good news, verse 18. Huldah the prophetess still speaking the word of God. But to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender or soft, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should come to a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. God will always hear the prayer of repentance. God will always forgive the penitent heart. All of the old sin can be dealt with through the ministry of forgiveness by a loving, merciful Heavenly Father. And no matter what is in your life or has been in your life, and no matter how desperate is your condition, and no matter how despicable is your sin and your transgression, and no matter how wicked is the people among which you dwell, if when the convicting power of the Word of God falls upon your heart, if it finds a tender and a soft heart, one that will turn to God completely, you can have forgiveness. You can have a new start. You can have a brand new life. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch the 20th verse. Behold, therefore, God still speaking through the prophetess, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. The world may be going to hell in a handbasket, but you don't have to. The whole world may burn around you, but it is not necessary for you to do so. The whole world can die and go to hell for eternal torment, but you don't have to. If your heart is tender, and if your heart is soft towards God, and if when the word of God comes forth as it's coming forth this morning and brings conviction upon your heart, if you'll simply do as Josiah did and turn to the Lord and confess your faults and say, Oh God in heaven, forgive me. I put my trust in you. I look to you for my salvation. You won't have to burn. Hey, Pastor, that's hard. That isn't near as hard as it's going to be. If you want to know what hell is like, man, you want to read the 16th chapter of the book of Luke and hear it from the lips of Jesus himself. It's a horrible place. Why are so many refusing this very simple and very beautiful salvation? Simply because their hearts are not soft. Their hearts are not tender. They're not responding to the conviction of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you're willing to openly acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, in other words, that he's alive today, that he conquered death and hell and the grave, and he's victorious over that, if you'll put your trust in him, thou shalt be saved. They can fall all around you. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 will fall on one side and 10,000 on the other, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why? Because we have a God who forgives. We have a God who knows you can't make it on your own. We have a God who will take you where you are and lift you up out of the mire and the mud of sin and give you a new place and a new path and a new home. But he cannot do it, and he will not do it, unless you come the way Josiah came. And that is when you realize what sin's penalty is, and when you see yourself as a sinner, you get serious enough about your sin to turn from it and to call upon the Lord for his mercy. Now, I want to show you something in the next chapter about true repentance. There are a great many these days who are seeing that it is profitable to become a Christian, that it's profitable to get saved, that heaven is a lot better than hell. But I want you to learn something from the life of this man Josiah about what true repentance really is. True repentance will result in action. It will show in a changed life. If you haven't had a change in your life, you've not experienced God's forgiveness and you've not moved in repentance towards God. 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning in the third verse. And the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. The first thing that'll happen to you, if your heart is soft and your heart is tender and the Word of God convicts you and brings you to a point of repentance, the first thing that will occur in your life is you will make a public commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will stand and publicly take a hold of the covenant that God has offered you. You say, well, I'm too embarrassed to stand up and publicly make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Then Jesus is too embarrassed to acknowledge you before his Father, which is in heaven. Josiah made a public declaration. He said, I've been wrong. What I've done is wrong. I see the truth in the Word of God, and I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to do things differently in the future. I'm making a covenant with God. The way you'd do that today is you'd stand up in this church service this morning, if this is what's happening to you today, you'd stand up and you'd say, I'm making Jesus the Lord of my life. When I ask you subsequently in the service, when I invite you to come to Jesus, you'd be so quick to get your hand in the air and so quick to get out of your seat to say, hey, it's me. It's me. I am turning from my sin, and I'm giving my life to Jesus. I want him to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Publicly, I declare Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. And so the first thing that will happen to you if you are truly repentant and if your heart is truly soft and tender is you will make a public commitment to your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're unwilling to make a public commitment, I have serious doubts about the efficacy of your repentance. The second thing that Josiah did begins in the fourth verse. I'm not going to read all of these because it goes all the way to the 20th verse. But he forsook and destroyed all of the old snares and the old gods that were in his life. He made a clean and a definite break with all of those things, the trappings of his sinful life. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order, the keepers of the doors, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. He didn't give them away. He destroyed them. He burnt them. And he carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder. I like that phrase. He stamped it small to powder. He took all of those things from his old life that had entangled him and ensnared him, and he wasn't satisfied to simply throw it in the garbage can. He burned it, and when it was no more, he stomped on the ash. And then he picked up the powder, and he threw it thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites. He went to all the homosexual bars and destroyed them that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for a grove. And I could read on and on and on, and you would really see the kind of break that this man Josiah was having with his old life. Everything that he saw that represented the old life, everything that he had available to him that represented this old worship and these old attachments that he had, he broke and he utterly destroyed. He made a clean and a definite break. Now let's go over to verse 21. The first thing he did was he made a public commitment to Christ. The second thing, you understand when I say to Christ, I mean to the Lord, under the old covenant. Today we would make a public profession to Christ. The second thing he did was he utterly destroyed all of those things that had previously been in his life, that had hindered his walk with God, and that had drawn him away and had ensnared him. The third thing he did was, after a diligent study of God's word, we find in verse 21 that the king determined to be a doer of the word of God. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the king of Israel, nor in the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Right away. Now you notice that Josiah heard the word of God in his 18th year. He responded to the conviction of the word of God in the 18th year. He confessed his sin and repented in the 18th year. He made a public profession of his faith in God in the 18th year. He destroyed all of his previous idols and everything that had ensnared he and the people in the 18th year. He diligently applied himself to a study of God's word in the 18th year. And when he found that it was proper to observe the Passover once a year in the 18th year, he did observe the Passover and lead his people in doing the word of God. And now down to the 25th verse. This is one of the most precious in the whole story. And it goes along with the 19th of chapter 22, where we are told that Josiah had a tender heart towards the Lord. Verse 25 says about this very great man. Here's a young man at age 26. But see what the Holy Ghost reports about him and preserves concerning him. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, and with all his might. You see, this wasn't a man who was playing games with God. This wasn't a man who was just trying to avoid hell and make heaven. This was a man who realized that he had deeply offended a holy God, that his sin was a blight and a blot not only upon him, but on the kingdom of his beloved heavenly Father. This is a man, when he turned towards God, turned completely away from everything else and turned boldly and confidently towards a merciful, loving heavenly Father. He left nothing behind to latch onto his heart. He took his whole heart, he took his complete soul, and he took his whole might and his strength, and he said, Lord God, here am I, take me and use me. What a testimony. What a testimony. What a testimony. I don't know about you, but I would give everything to have such a testimony. I know many of you would too. That the Spirit of God should say, he turned towards God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, according to all of the Word of God. He didn't pick and choose. When he saw it, he decided to do it. Neither after him arose there any like him. As I was reading through the books of the Kings these past couple of weeks, I noticed, as a matter of fact, I thought I might share this with you on one occasion, where the Holy Spirit recorded about the people of Israel that they served God and also burnt incense in the groves. That they not only had Jehovah God, but they also had the heathen gods, and they kind of mixed the whole thing up together. And they served God because they feared him, but yet they served these other gods because they loved them. Josiah was not such a man. He served God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might. And you might say, well, Pastor, if I ever decided to serve Jesus in that way, would that mean that I wouldn't have room in my life for anybody else? No, it would mean you'd have more room for others. You wouldn't have any room for any other gods, but you'd be more love in you, not less. This is the only person I know of that you could love, and he would increase your love for others. That you can't, when you increase your love for Jesus, it multiplies your love for others. It doesn't take away from it. He gives more. It's the most amazing thing. Watch the next couple of verses, though. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city Jerusalem which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. The rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Why did God not turn his fierce wrath away from Judah? Why did he turn his fierce wrath away from Josiah and not from Jerusalem? Why was Josiah saved when the rest of the people all were destroyed? Why? Because Josiah turned to the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his strength and all of his might. God will do that for you too. He's no respecter of persons. Your whole society could go down the drain, but God would save you from it if your heart is tender and if your heart is soft and if you'll turn to him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. This story is one of the most magnificent pictures of our salvation in Christ that I can find in the Old Testament. It's one of the most marvelous stories concerning God's love towards an individual person. You may be here this morning and you may think nobody loves you. I want you to know that God loves you. Jesus died for you, and if you'll turn your heart towards him, he'll give you a new life. Yeah, but what about my wife, and what about my kids, and what about my mommy, and what about my daddy? Them too, if they'll do the same thing. But just because they're dying and going to hell, is that any reason for you too? Why don't you turn towards the Lord? Why don't you trust in him? Why don't you receive his salvation and then join with him in believing God for your family, for your community, for your country, or your world? How about you today? Are you really saved? Is there fruit in your life? When you were saved, did you make a break with your old life? Did you turn from those things that snared you? Did you burn them and grind them to powder, so to speak? Or are they still hanging on to your life? Do they still have a hold on you? Do you serve Jesus and still serve some other gods? Which is it? Examine yourself today and see whether you be in the faith. If you're not saved, do you really want to be? Do you want to be destroyed, or would you rather be saved? You can receive salvation simply by responding to the conviction of the Word of God, confessing and forsaking your sin, receiving Jesus Christ and turning to Him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might, and then living the changed life. You say, Pastor, I can't do that. I've tried to live right, and I can't. Of course you can't. But you can with His help. And if you'll turn to Him and allow Him to come into your life, He will help you live that changed life. You can't do it yourself. Of course you can't. I know that. No man can. But He can live His life in you and through you. I urge you today, if you're not born again, that's what it means to be saved. You experience the new birth. You're born again of the Spirit. You get a new life. God becomes your Father when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. If you're not saved today, I urge you, give your life to Him. Turn with all of your heart. Surrender to Him. Make a clean break with your old life. And God will save you. I want you to know I'm not terribly concerned about the destruction of our world. I know it's going to happen sooner or later. What I'm concerned about is the destruction of people. I'm concerned that when this world is destroyed and when it comes under the wrath of God, that so many people, precious people, created in the image and the likeness of God are going to be destroyed right along with it. I don't want that to happen. But I've given my life to save as many as can.